What if a doctor could tell you how to keep both your social media and your sanity? You'd probably want to talk to that doctor. We will. Dr. Brian Primack, award-winning expert on how media and technology influence health. Man, that's some heady stuff here. He's got a BA from Yale, master's at Harvard. And the list goes on and on. He was at the University of Pittsburgh, now at the University of Arkansas. Good morning, Dr. Primack.
Good morning. It is great to be on the show with you. Thanks so much for your interest.
Fantastic. The good doctor has written a book called You Are What You Click. But are you a Pitt Panther fan yet?
Well, you know, I was at Pitt for 20 great years, and of course, during the time I was, but now okay. I'm Dean of the College of Education and Health Professions at the University of Arkansas, so my allegiances are somewhat split.
Yeah, I wanted to rub it in because they lost to Western Michigan Saturday.
Well, congratulations.
I don't know what Arkansas did, but... Hey, Brian's been on all the big shows, CBS News, The Today Show. You see some of his work in the New York Times, NPR. You've been everywhere, Brian.
Well, you know, we just keep trying to do work that is relevant to the people that I see in my clinic and, you know, in our studies. And, you know, I guess some people do find it useful. And in this particular case, social media obviously is not going away. and yes, a lot of people do find it to be social and do find it to sort of live up to what we hope for it. That's going to make us more connected and happy. But many people do not. A lot of people in well-conducted medical studies find that, you know, using more social media, they actually end up more depressed, more anxious, and even feeling more socially isolated, you know, ironically, even though they just spent that hour with 750 friends, quote unquote. And so what we really need at this point is sort of a readjust, some way of figuring out how can we have this medium work for us and not against us.
So what, back away from it maybe?
Well, that, you know, can be the answer in certain cases, but not necessarily. The thrust of our work and the book is not a cold turkey kind of approach, although, you know, certainly for some people that's going to be what they prefer. Mm-hmm. It's much more of a retooling. It's kind of like, and the reason why the book is called You Are What You Click, and that sort of evokes that idea within the food area of you are what you eat, is it's just a reminder that every single thing that you are exposed to there is really going into your mind. It is creating scripts about, you know, your attitude with the world. It's also doing other things in your mind. I mean, we now know that if you use social media very frequently, it causes these shifts of attention that our bodies are just not used to. And that messes with things like sleep and like thinking and like mood. And so it's just a reminder that, you know, if we are what we click, we need to just think intentionally about it. So, you know, to come back to your thought, yes, in some cases, somebody will, you know, reassess and say, oh my gosh, look at this. I'm spending 4.5 hours a day. I think I'd rather spend 2 hours a day. Let me see how I can sort that out.
Yeah.
For other people, they're spending 2 hours a day, and maybe they're happy with that, but they realize, you know what, I'm just using too frequently, or I'm using the wrong platforms. I'm using too many platforms. I'd like to focus my attention on these couple. And we do have research-oriented, evidence-based information that shows what kinds of things might be helpful for particular individuals.
Yeah, a lot of people, let's face it, they're on their phone all day.
Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of pattern. I mean, you know, for some people it's necessary because it's their work, and for some people their personality might really thrive somehow on that. But for many people, just like you're insinuating, that's really not going to be the best approach, because presumably they've got other things in their lives that are more meaningful, whether those are in-person relationships, whether those are meaningful hobbies like sports or arts or, you know, music or something else like that. And if you're on your phone all day, really what you're doing is you're kind of giving into what it is that the producers and the creators of the platforms want. You know, they want you there all day and with as many connections as possible so that they can sell more advertising space. That might not be the best thing for the individual user. And in the book, we've got a bunch of different strategies for dealing with that and for figuring out what it is that you really want. And then for really achieving that, potentially with social media as a part of your life, but not controlling your life.
So your book really has a lot of advice and really does get into depth here.
Yeah, we present sort of what I hope will be the first food pyramid, quote unquote, for social media. Basically saying, what are the general things that we want it to do, and how do we make sure that it just does those things? And, you know, it's basically just three levels of this pyramid, because we don't want a crazy pyramid with 127 little, you know, sections that we can't remember. The base of the pyramid is be selective, and we talk about selection not just of the particular platforms, but also the particular people that we want to be engaged with. Marketers want us to sort of engage with everybody, again, because more traffic means more advertising. That's probably not best for us, because when you say something to everybody, that's when you're going to get more of the flack, more of the problems, more of the gaffes, more of the challenges. And so that be selective is sort of the base of the pyramid. What am I going to start with in my diet? The second level of the pyramid is be positive. Negativity on social media just kind of goes to another level. I think of it kind of like road rage because, you know, if you're standing right in front of somebody and, you know, they accidentally, you know, go in front of you, you know, you think, oh, you know, that's okay. I can see it's someone's grandma and, you know, she just didn't notice me or, you know, something like that. But when it happens in a car, we dehumanize that person. We say, oh, it's that mean red car. And we can do the same thing on social media very easily if we don't know that person in a real life context. So things like that help us remind us that we really have to be positive with a vengeance. And then there's a whole bunch of things in the book about how we do that. Mm-hmm. And then the last chunk of the pyramid, sort of the triangle at the top, is be creative. And I'm not talking about arts and crafts here. I'm talking about more like, how do we really use some cool tools to our advantage? An example is that, you know, not many people probably think about, you know, hey, what's my personality like and how can I match the ways that I use social media to my personality? I mean, we do that all the time when we pick a place to live. You know, we don't just randomly, you know, choose a house just because it happens to be in, we're moving to Tulsa. You know, we think carefully about what neighborhood do we want to be in, how do we want to do. We don't really do that with social media. Everyone just kind of goes to the same place and just kind of gets dragged along. And what we have in the book is actually a personality quiz. And based on the results of that, the following five chapters sort of talk about how, based on your results, you can optimize your use of social media. So that's an example of how we can sort of get creative at that last level and really make it something that works for us and not the other way around.
Is it fair to say most of social media or a larger percentage is negative?
You know, right now, I would say that probably, You know, I don't know if it's a larger percentage. It kind of depends on how you divide everything up. I would say that a lot of the things that happen on social media are very positive. You know, people are, you know, clicking pictures of cute puppies and babies, and people are saying happy birthday and congratulations. And so I think that a lot of what goes on is positive. See, the problem is, though, that there's something called negativity.
Then there's politics.
Right. Right. So then there's this whole other category of, you know, sort of arguing about religion and politics. And I guess the issue is that there's something called negativity bias, which means that if you've had, like, you know, 85% of experiences over the past hour have been positive, but you've had that 15% negative, you know, what is your mind going to harp on? It's probably not going to think deeply about, you know, all the positive things. It's going to be, you know, focused on that negative chunk. And we found in studies that this is actually even more dramatic in the social media milieu. And so it's those few gaffes, those few challenges, those few miscommunications that are really going to color everything. So even if most of it isn't negative, the negative that is there is going to spread rapidly, and it's really going to affect us. So that's why in the book, we try to find ways of minimizing that as absolutely much as possible, so that hopefully it's overall an experience that adds to our life and doesn't detract from it.
Yeah, a lot of people have trouble with sleep. This only adds or exacerbates it, right?
Yeah, so we've got a chapter about sleep, and it we found some interesting things in a couple of different published studies. So one of them shows that that last 30 minutes before bedtime really is very critical. And so some people, you know, have literally changed their lives by just saying, I'm not using social media for this 30 minutes, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing that we find in another published study is that the total amount of time that people use during the day is also related to the quality of their sleep, even if it's not right before bedtime. And that is probably because what I was saying before of that frequency of shifting focus of attention, it kind of confuses our brains, you know, that have evolved to sort of deal with a totally different world than we have today, and certainly not one with, you know, a device in our hand that is constantly shifting us every couple seconds to something else. And so that kind of way of engaging with media, it changes the brain. It confuses the brain. It makes it harder to remember things. It makes it harder to for, you know, the parts of our brain that are about thinking, that are about mood, and sleep is one of those critical things that it seems to interrupt.
So how can our listeners find out about your book, Brian?
So it's real easy because there's a launch website, which is youarewhatyouclick.com. And they can also go to, you know, anywhere where better books are sold. It's there on Amazon and Goodreads. But, you know, also, of course, it's great to go to your local independent bookseller. And if it's not there, you can always ask them to get you a copy.
Well, interesting topic. I don't know how you got into that. There's probably a story there, but very interesting for people that are fascinated, I guess, with the internet.
Yeah. I think it should be interesting for just about anybody, but I really think that it also, the idea is that it really should be practical for people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to very briefly touch on your question, I mean, I never had a beef about the internet or anything like that. It's really just through being a physician, being a researcher, and being a human being that I've seen this influence grow over the past 30 years and said, wow, we've got a real problem right now because, you know, this is not really working the way a lot of people had hoped it would. But we also have a real opportunity because if we could change the equation and get people to sort of use it in balance, the way a good diet can, you know, be really helpful for somebody, then we've got a great opportunity. So it came out a little bit of seeing all the problems, but a little bit out of also seeing the hopes and the aspirations.
Brian, thanks for the visit. Good luck with the book.
Great. Well, thank you again so much for having me on the show and for your interest.
Yeah, take care. Dr. Brian Primack, the book is You Are What You Click.